Everybody, welcome back. I'm Jordan.
And I'm Rachel.
And every week I force Rachel to watch a formative movie from my childhood.
Yeah, I'm nervous every single time.
Yeah. Is it going to be a bad one or a really bad one? That's the question.
Huh? We've watched some good ones. Men in Black was good.
Men in Black was really good. Yeah. Don't get too excited. There's not going to be a lot of those.
Ew.
But yeah, we talk about the movie in the terms of masculinity and feminism and equality and racism and all kinds of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then Rachel makes a nice sugar-free treat for us to have.
Yep, all of that is true.
And all of that is a recipe for disaster. For us today, Rachel?
I am making a sugar-free chocolate tart.
Ooh, that sounds good.
Yeah, all chocolate all day.
Yeah, so when you say chocolate tart, what is a tart?
A tart is...
Other than you, you tart.
You're a tart. You're a tart.
You're a juicy tart.
Whoa.
Yeah.
So a tart, besides a Shakespearean colloquialism for a... sassy woman is a usually a filled dessert. It has a crust. Okay. It's not like a pie because it has what's called a short crust.
Sure.
Which means that it's not going to be flaky. It's going to be more crumbly.
Okay.
And then it's going to have kind of a custardy chocolate top.
Mm.
And then we're going to have a little ganache that goes on top of that.
Oh, that's going to be amazing.
But
it does kind of sound like a miniature pie.
What did I just say about the crust?
Not flaky.
Yeah.
It's crumbly.
But
I'm just saying,
crust.
It still sounds like... I mean, you could just make a gigantic tart, and it'd basically be a big pie.
No, it fucking wouldn't. The crust is completely different.
Is the crust what makes a pie?
Yes!
I disagree.
What the fuck? Yes, the crust is what makes a pie.
I mean,
what do you think a pie crust is? Do you see a pie crust, like Pillsbury selling a pie crust, and you put it in there and it's a fucking cookie? No.
You know. Yeah, I guess you're right.
Yeah, I was going to say, what other cooking, baking wisdom do you have to bestow on us today, Jordan?
I just think, you know, I think it's close to a pie. It's in the same it's in the same genus, that's for sure.
Yeah, I would say yes, that's true.
Yeah.
Sure.
Pies and tarts are both in the same family.
But, like, think about...
But not cake.
No.
No.
But think about, like, it's not about shape with desserts, because you have hand pies and filled pies. And what's this common factor with all of those things?
pie crust, yes. I guess, is what you're trying to get me to say.
Yes.
And since I can't think of anything better than that, that's what I'm going to say. Pie crust.
That's
okay,
right.
Fine. So that's what makes a pie a pie.
Yes.
And a tart a tart.
Yes.
So what are the stages of making this chocolate tart?
So the first thing that we have to do is we have to make the crust.
And is that going to be the hardest part?
No. The tart's going to be the hardest part, for sure.
Because I feel like with pie, the crust is the hardest part.
Yes, that is true.
Okay.
This is not nearly as involved, and you don't have to be as careful with it. Because with the crust, because it is a short crust, and also we're not using anything with gluten in it, so there's no, like, risk of it toughening.
Okay.
So the crust is the easiest part.
Now, wait a goddamn second. Because I'm just standing here thinking about some pies that we've made where you crushed up graham crackers into a crust.
That's a cheesecake, babe.
That's a cheese pie. That's what it is.
No, it's not.
It's a pie, damn it.
No, it's not. Okay. I don't know why you're still, like... fighting this so hard.
Because I gotta just tell you rocked my world, and I don't like it. I like to be standing on steady ground with what I know and what I believe.
Oh my. Well, I'm really glad we got you out of the church then, pal.
Yeah, it helped a lot. But yeah, so you got to make the crust. You said the tart is probably going to be the hardest part?
Yeah, the filling.
And why is that?
Because I have to boil, like, make sure that the cream is a certain temperature, and I have to make sure that, like, the temperatures are right so I don't cook the eggs when I add them. There's a lot of, like, little finicky stages.
Yeah, so you don't want scrambled eggs. Is there, like, an anglais or something that goes with this?
No, this is just, like, the custard center, the custard tart.
Oh, yeah.
You have to add eggs.
Okay, cool.
Just like you do with ice cream. You have to temper the eggs. And
yeah, so if you heat it up too much or too fast, then it'll cook the eggs and be weird.
Yeah, it'll cook the eggs, and then you'll have, like, little chewy bits of egg in your dessert.
That's strange.
Rips.
Then you'd have a quiche instead of a tart.
No.
It's a dessert quiche.
No.
Well, what makes a quiche then?
What makes a quiche is that it's all egg.
Uh-huh.
Well, and maybe a little bit of cream. But
there's stuff in the eggs.
Yeah.
You put, like, peppers and chicken or whatever in there. Yeah. Vegetables and
but
stuff.
Quiches are savory also.
Yeah, but, I mean, you could have a dessert quiche.
Then it would be a pie!
No! No!
Yes! A dessert quiche would be a custard pie.
Wow, I'm learning a lot about circular foods today.
Jordan, we're going to get put a bib on you and give you a little, like, book where you can put the shapes of pies in the holes where they fit in tarts.
Next thing you're going to tell me is that cookies aren't in the same family as cakes. And that's a bald-faced lie.
They're not.
They're cousins. Distant cousins, but in the same family tree.
No!
Oh, yeah. A cookie is just a small cake.
You're just fucking with me now. You're just trying to make something up because...
Well, don't try and tell me that they're in the pie and quiche family, because that's ridiculous.
No! Cookies are their own separate species. Just like fucking... maned wolves from South America. They're their own fucking species. They look kind of like wolves, they look kind of like foxes, but they're neither.
Okay. What makes a cookie different from a cake, then?
Oh, man. It's the process and the way that they're leavened and the way that you handle the flour.
Okay.
There's a lot.
But brownies are in the cake family.
Yes, I would say brownies are cousins to cakes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just gotta compartmentalize my desserts here.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
I hope you enjoyed that, listeners.
Like, it's as if you walked into my tool room and just, like, took all the shelves out of the tool cabinet and just dumped them on the ground. And now I'm trying to pick up these pieces and put them in the right place.
Oh my god, but they weren't in the right place to begin with.
But I knew where they were, and that's what mattered.
You pick up a hammer and you're like, I'm gonna use this jigsaw. And I'm like,
It doesn't matter what I call it as long as I know what it does.
Oh, it doesn't, does it?
Yeah.
Because you, motherfucker, have stopped me in front of people in conversations and been like, babe, that's not right. About a word that I used.
That's different when I do it.
Oh, is it? I fucking see.
Yeah. Well, let's get on this this small pie that you're making and we'll...
Oh my god, it's a tart! They're not the same thing!
And yeah, we'll come back after a break.
Yeah.
An interesting one for you today, Rachel.
I'm a little concerned.
You're concerned all the time. I'm not concerned about you being concerned.
Oh, that's the secret to a healthy marriage, folks.
But today I wanted to talk about capitalism. So we're going to watch Blank Check.
Oh, fuck yes.
Which was one of several movies from my childhood where a little kid is, like, super rich all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Or has been forever.
Yeah.
I was debating between this and Richie Rich.
Both excellent choices.
Richie Rich is probably a more iconic rich person movie, but I felt like Blank Check was a more formative one.
Yeah.
Because it kind of, the main character, little boy, is not rich to begin with. And his family is not rich either.
Yeah.
And he kind of just, like, strikes it rich. And so it's kind of like a, you know, examination of that rather than let's examine this kid who's, like, super privileged and the adventures he gets into.
Right. He was born into wealth or whatever.
Yeah. So, have you? When was the last time you watched this movie?
I must have been, let's see, eight or nine?
Yeah.
Last time I saw this movie. What I remember about, I always remember things surrounding movies more than I remember movies, which is funny. But what I remember about Blank Check is that my mom would pick me up from school sometimes. Sometimes I rode the bus. On occasion, she'd pick me from school, and she'd be like, I have to go to the grocery store. I'm going to drop you off in this, like, movie rental store.
Yeah.
And just, like, leave me there. I was, like, eight. She'd leave me in the movie rental store and go grocery shopping. Like, it's good. It's an exercise in independence. I highly recommend it. Abandon your children in movie rental stores.
Yeah. Well, but don't let them wander around in the horror section and get a peek at, like, the cover to The Frighteners. Well, because when you're, like, 6 years old, that stuff is terrifying.
I used to go look at the Showgirls cover a lot.
Yeah. I remember walking around the video store and being like, oh, that one's scary. Like, the Dead Alive cover was scary.
Evil Dead cover was scary.
Evil Dead.
Frighteners.
The Frighteners. Silence of the Lambs scared me a lot. The cover to that movie.
Oh, yeah. That movie, the cover to that movie was pretty scary. So, anyway.
Blank Check, not scary. There's like a kid with Tood. And he's like,
he's got his sunglasses.
He's like looking back at you with his sunglasses. He's like tipping them down at you, like Tom Cruise in Risky Business. And he's got a skateboard and like a backwards hat and everything. Like, he's a 90s kid to the max.
His parents are named Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac.
I wish.
Yeah.
Oh,
no, like, that's what I remember is being in this. It was called the, what's it called? The Movie House? I think it was called The Movie House.
Was it H-A-U-S? Like,
no.
German spelling?
No, it was just...
Movie House.
Just The Movie House.
Yeah.
And it was in this house. It really was. It was just like a residential looking house. And you go in, it smelled like cigarettes real bad in there. And there was carpet on the floor, like... And there were some weird back rooms that, like, was just like 18 plus only.
Oh, yeah.
And... I never, there was a beaded curtain there, and I used to go in and, like, wander through the rooms, and they had some of the weirdest shit in there.
Yeah.
But I remember going to the kids section and looking at Blank Check and being like, it was like me whenever I'm clothes shopping with you. I'm like,
I don't know.
And I, like, did that so many times, and finally it was just after I had watched Nightmare Before Christmas, and nothing could top that for me at that moment. And I was like... All right, I guess I'll give Blank Check a try. Fucking the oldest, like, spirited 8-year-old ever. I'm like 65 in the movie store, just being like, I wish they wouldn't smoke in here. I guess I'll get this one. It looks fine. My mother won't give me a hard time. Yeah. It's PG. And I remember picking it up, and the lady, she's this old lady, smoked a ton, had like wrinkled skin, and she looked at me and she was like, she looked at Blank Check, and she looked at me, and she goes, it's not that good.
Okay.
She used to do that. It's not that good. And I'm like, all right, thanks. And I think it's because I was in there regularly, and she thought maybe we were friends. It's not that good.
I mean.
That's what she said.
I wouldn't. That's not how I would describe this movie to someone, is like, not that good. I mean, I would describe it as, like, I remember this movie pretty fondly. I remember... Yeah. Having a good time, like, oof. You know, it's a pretty classic story from what I remember. It's like, you know, a kid wishes he was rich, obviously, so he can have a lot of things and have a lot of fun. And he does have a lot of fun, but then he loses himself and realizes that it's, you know, money is not everything. I think that's pretty much the message of this movie. But I think it's going to override its message a bunch of times. But, like, you know, he gets a water slide in his house. Like, he's also, like, trying to escape from some burglars or something. Like, Tone Loc and Miguel Ferrer and this, like, fat bird-looking dude are, like, chasing him around the whole movie.
I feel like when I watched it, I had the same thought. Is that... And you know what? I gave her, like, a New York accent. I don't know why I did that. Because really, it was like this. She goes... She takes a big puff of her cigarette. She goes, it's not that good. Just like that. That's more what it was like.
I wonder why she didn't like it.
It's not that good.
Maybe we're going to find out today. If today's the day we're going to think that it's not that good.
You know that fucking Central Louisiana, like, it's not that good.
Yeah.
All right, lady, fuck you too.
When you're not that good either, madam.
And I remember watching it and being like, God damn it, she's right. She also told me not to rent In the Army Now because it was not that good. And she was right. Well,
that's good advice. Yeah,
she actually rarely steered me wrong.
Look, I know you have a special place in your heart for Encino Man.
Love Encino Man so much.
But Pauly Shore should not have been. He's the thing that should not have been, as far as I'm concerned.
I don't think I would allow him near teenage girls. I think that's how I feel about Pauly Shore.
I don't think that, I mean, much like Chris Kattan, I don't think Pauly Shore can be taken anywhere. Like, that's probably why he's not anywhere anymore. Because, like, no one wants to be around that for a significant period of time.
Oh, Pauly, God damn it, we can't take you anywhere.
Yeah. I mean, being like doing a weasel impression is only interesting once.
Just one note.
And then afterwards when you're like, oh, that's, you're still doing it. Yeah. Okay.
Don't let him have drink any alcohol tonight, okay?
I mean, at the same time, nobody's going to be like, stop that. Like, quit it. Like, it's not like that kind of a thing. It's just kind of like, well, you know, I'm going to just go stand over here now.
Yeah.
And I think the whole world went and stood over here now while Pauly Shore is over in the corner doing the weasel.
Weasel.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Whatever.
But Pauly Shore's not in this movie.
No.
No.
Pauly Shore is not in this movie.
There's a kid that nobody ever saw again.
Yeah.
He was probably on a milk carton.
Oh, God.
Well, more than likely, he just decided, like, I hate fame and, like, just went back to school.
I mean, who the fuck wouldn't? I don't understand people who are like, yeah, fame's great. Let's fucking be famous. Fuck that.
Yeah. There's a lot of pressure. I mean, there's tons of movies about that, too. We'll probably end up watching one eventually.
Boogie Nights?
I didn't watch that when I was a kid. No. Christ.
I snuck that movie and watched it. I think I got like a fucking vagrant to rent that movie for me and him like $3 or something.
You were a bad kid.
I really wanted to see Boogie Nights and I was like, he's all right.
I loved Boogie Nights, but, you know, not as much anymore. Yeah. That's another thing where I'm just kind of tired of it.
I think that this is going to be one of those things where you're like, oh, man, I'm kind of tired of this. I think the kid's going to be irritating.
I actually really enjoyed this movie a lot. And
really?
I don't want it to be bad. I want to enjoy it again. Well, I'm hoping that that's going to be the case.
You know, we watched Mother last night, and I was really expecting that to be bad. It wasn't. It was pretty good.
Yeah.
So, I'm expecting this to be bad. Maybe it'll surprise me and be pretty good.
That would be, a pleasant surprise for you from that perspective, for sure.
Yeah, but I don't anticipate it. I think her name was like Ethel or something.
Yeah.
I think Ethel was right. It's not very good.
How can anything with Miguel Ferrer in it not be
any good? I don't
even
know who that is.
You'll know him when you see him.
He's pornography?
Yeah, so he's the guy he's in RoboCop as, like, the guy who's, like, trying to show up his superior, like, with, he invents the RoboCop program.
Yeah.
Or, like, oh, you're bored now. He was in Jordan's Crossing, if you ever saw that show.
Yeah.
And that was the thing.
One of my friend's wives really likes that show.
He's in Traffic as the drug dealer who's going to be, like, a witness.
Oh, he's Hispanic?
Yeah.
Okay, I like him.
And I'm trying to remember, he's related to somebody who's like...
I don't remember who he is.
Famous.
I know
but
who
I don't,
is. I like
I don't,
him.
But he like has a different last name.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's like the main villain in this movie, and I think he's really good. I remember him very fondly.
When did you last see this movie?
You know, I think I've seen this movie like in my mid-20s. But it had to have been a while back, because honestly, I don't remember the last time. It had to have been at least like 7 or 8 years ago.
Really?
Yeah. But Tone Loc is in this movie too, the rapper from the 90s.
Oh.
He was a... oh.
I mean...
Rachel doesn't care at all.
Oh, that's very interesting. I'm perfecting my Midwestern mom voice.
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh.
That's
I mean, did you really not, when you were a kid, you didn't get excited about, like, all the toys that this kid buys? Or, like, his personal limo driver?
No.
What kind of dreams did you have as a child?
I wanted to be a centaur, and I wanted to be, I wanted to gallop through the woods, and have, like, sexy centaur sex.
Look, you can't become a centaur without money to, like, pay a geneticist to, like, bond you with a horse.
And I also wanted to be, I wanted to live in the woods, and we used to have this creek, and there was clay on the sides.
Yeah.
And I used to run down into the woods barefoot. That's how I got bitten by a copperhead, y'all. Do not recommend. 0 out of 10.
Yeah.
And and I would go down and just, like, dig clay out of the creek and try and dam the creek up, and that was, like, my entire afternoon. Wow. It was the best.
So, that kind of makes me wonder, so, like, when I have dreams, like, even though my dreams are different than yours, if my dream was to be a centaur, my dream would be to get enough money to be able to be a centaur.
Oh, no.
How would your dreams, like, get to the point of accomplishment? Like, what's the tool that you would use to be a centaur in your fantasy?
You're thinking about it all wrong. Like,
you just wish that you could just, you're a centaur. Like, that's what happens?
Let me fucking tell you, and if you gotta quit talking over me, or you won't ever know what happens. What I want to do is, it's not about, like, actually achieving the dream in real life. What it is it's about, like, always existing as a centaur in this awesome magical world that you've built for yourself.
Okay.
Like, I never thought about the solutions as much. It wasn't as important.
So I think that's interesting that you want to always have been a centaur.
Yeah.
And not become a centaur.
No.
Or anything like that.
No, I want to always have been a centaur and been raised up through the centuries by the fae people. That's what I want.
Yeah.
A lot more impossible than being rich or whatever, but being rich never looked that fun to me.
Yeah. I just think it's interesting that your dreams involve you not having the life that you've had.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. That's your real dream, I think, underlying it all, Jesus. Which is kind of interesting.
Yeah, I guess it kind of is.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess so. But, you know. But also,
centaurs are cool.
Centaurs are cool as fuck, and they're powerful.
Yeah.
Like, how cool would that be?
Well, I've seen Harry Potter. I know how powerful centaurs can be.
Fuck Harry Potter. You
said it. Yeah, we won't be watching Harry Potter on this podcast.
Not allowed.
I'm a fan. Rachel's not.
Rachel's not a fan. Also, we made a deal. Jordan was like, we have to watch every Harry Potter movie. And I'm like, and then there's a 10-year moratorium on Harry Potter movies.
Yeah.
And Jordan's like, okay, deal.
Well, yeah, and we did watch all the Harry Potter movies, and I was satisfied with that. So, you know, it's, what did you think of the Harry Potter movies, Rachel, just on a scale of 0 to 1?
On a scale of
0 to 10.
0 to 1, I was like, what?
0.8?
Yeah, I would say on a scale of 0 to 10, it would be it's not that good.
That is not in the range.
Oh, I have to obey Jordan's rules. See, this is why, like,
syntax error.
All our shit sometimes collides because I just want to, like, live in this magic world.
Yeah.
And you want to, like, find some sort of technological solution that I'm like, no, that shit's hard. And also, it's not magical.
I believe that life can be measured.
Oh, okay. There's no gray area there, I suppose.
Yeah.
Okay, so blank check. Capitalism. How are we... What was your idea with that?
Oh, yeah. Because I'm interested in watching it and seeing it from a perspective of, okay, like, does he make the right decisions based off of what happens? Like, what... Does capitalism corrupt him? Is the message of this movie ultimately a capitalist one or not?
Oh,
like,
all of that. Oh, yeah. I'm going to say absolutely. Disney movie, right?
It is a Disney movie, and I'm pretty sure that what's going to happen is the face message, the one that it shows to the public, is going to be like, hey, you know, money corrupts, or something like that, you know? Yeah. But in the end, it's really going to be like, but it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's what the real message is going to be.
I mean, there's nothing more pro-capitalist than fucking Disney.
And oh, yeah.
Rightfully so. Like, who wouldn't want to have $1 zillion, I suppose?
Yeah, I'm actually, in fact, I'm expecting to find that message in there somewhere. I'm also expecting to see a little of what we saw in Big last week.
Oh.
With the kind of, like, odd relationships between grown women and young boys. Because there is a female character in this who's, like, a bank investigator.
Yeah.
Because she's, like, trying to figure out what happened with this blank check or whatever. Or, like, bank fraud or something. There's, like, I think it's, like, a money laundering scheme is what's really going on.
Yeah.
But she's, like, a romantic interest for this little boy. He, like,
ew.
They go on a date and everything.
No, they don't.
They do. They go on a date and they play in a fountain.
Jordan, like, you know how fucking weird.
And she's in, like, a sexy dress. And you know who it is? It's the fucking lady from Dumb and Dumber. Yeah, the one that
really?
Follows Joe around or whatever, like the gas man.
Oh,
sorry,
yeah.
Sorry, how'd they know I have gas? That kind of thing.
Yeah, I got it.
Yeah.
You don't have to quote Dumb and Dumber for us to realize who
that. Well, I just wanted to be clear that it wasn't like the, what's the, Lauren Holly or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, the redheaded lady.
Mary. Oh, I see. I understand now.
Yeah.
Man.
So yeah, I'm expecting to have another conversation about that. I don't know why we've got to have these strange, like, pedophilic relationships in our movies for kids.
Because it's toxic masculinity. It's toxic masculinity and the patriarchy to the max. Like, that shit isn't just about, like, protecting women from it.
Yeah.
It's about protecting little boys from it, too.
I do think that this movie, I'm pretty sure that this one doesn't go quite as far because it portrays, like, her end of the relationship. Like, she very much doesn't consider it to be romantic or
anything.
Okay. Like, she's not pursuing him. The only reason that she, like, goes anywhere with him is because she wants to investigate the thing about the check. You know.
I'm pretty sure. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll find out. I'm sure there's going to be a point where she's like, gives him a look or something where she's like, oh yeah, you know, I do kind of like him, which is going to be weird.
Or she's going to be like, when you grow up, give me a call.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
You just nailed that trope on the head. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Take that trope.
Yeah.
Pow!
Right in the dick.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, let's, you know, get around to watching this movie.
Okey-doke.
It's been so long since I've seen it. There's really not a whole lot to talk about because I don't remember much.
Yeah.
So I guess we'll get into it after we've seen it.
Yeah, I mean, everybody got the story from the lady in the movie house, you know. That's what you got out of this. That's all I remember about this movie.
Well, we'll see if you think it's not that good.
Not that good.
All right. Be right back. So this looks amazing.
Yeah, it's pretty. It's real pretty.
That ganache is nice and like glossy.
Yeah, it's got some good shine to it.
It's really good. Yeah.
Yeah.
How do you get it that glossy?
You don't overheat the chocolate because I overheated it a little bit because you can see like there's some like crystallizing pattern here in the top.
Oh yeah, the little circles.
Yeah. But if you get it just when you're melting the cream and the chocolate together, if you just do it gently enough so that it just combines and you don't overcook it, then it like maintains its gloss. And it looks real pretty.
It looks really good. And it smells like so dark. I love that.
Man, this is going to be a dark chocolate ass dessert, y'all.
And it's like kind of ooey gooey, but it's also firm.
Yeah.
So how long did it have to set to get that firmness?
And it had to sit an hour after the custard, and then after I applied the... Sorry. I have some iced coffee here.
Ooh. That'll go well.
It will. And then after you let the custard set for an hour, then you have to you pour the ganache on. I have to let it set for another 30 minutes.
Oh, okay.
It's a long haul, y'all.
Yeah, it was a long wait, but it looks like it's going to pay off. Mm-hmm. Let's dig in. Mm. Ooh, yeah. That is rich.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel guilty. There's no sugar in that?
There's absolutely zero sugar in it.
I barely believe that.
Like, it's like, this is awesome. But yeah. Also, there's not like a ton of butter in it. It's like mostly just, well, there's a lot of cream in it. It's mostly just eggs and cream. It's, I mean, it's fatty for sure. I wouldn't eat like a whole one of these, but.
I mean, it is incredibly creamy. But it also has that delicious bitterness to it.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh man, it's so bitter. But mixed with the erythritol,
mm-hmm.
Ooh, this is a rich dessert.
Mm-hmm.
This is like something you get at like a fancy chocolatier's. Like, I imagine getting this at like the Ghirardelli restaurant. Like, this is better than that, but it's like, that's the kind of place I imagine getting it.
Yeah, and it's pretty simple, too. It's like really simple flavor profiles.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm drinking it with this iced black coffee right now, and it's just...
Yeah, I'm eating it with ginger ale. It's not as delicious, but the thing is good on top. No, this is really good. Actually, I am going to try some of your coffee.
Yeah, try some coffee. Sounds really good. It's really good.
Mm, yeah. And with it being cold brew, that's kind of nice.
It is.
Mm, it's refreshing, almost.
Mm-hmm.
Mm, yeah. This is delicious. We got to... Eat the rest of this and finish watching Blank Check.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Be right back.
Delight.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Delight. Mm-hmm. We forgot to... Yeah. You'd say delight, I'm sure. Yes.
Yeah.
So this one gets the double D.
The double
as
D.
As all get. But this one gets D. The good ones.
Yeah. Hell yeah. This is a good one.
Check.
Uh-huh.
Kind of was dragging near the end there. It's kind of ready. Yeah. Kind of ready for that to be over. It was only an hour and a half.
The second two-thirds of it dragged.
Yeah.
The first third of it was fucking kind of fun.
Yeah, and I was surprised. We were enjoying it more than we expected.
In the first third.
In the first third.
Mm-hmm.
But Rachel, give us the blurb for the back of the VHS box, because this is not going on... Blu-ray.
The back of the VHS box is some kid takes some money from money launderers. The morality of this film is uncertain. You know, money is cool, but your family's better or some shit like that, and everybody claps. And the review would be 2.5 stars from Ethel, who says... It wasn't that good.
I mean, so at the beginning, I was thinking that Ethel was completely wrong.
Yeah.
Like, I think we took a break about halfway through, and I was like, yeah, you know, Ethel's favorite movie is probably Delta Farce.
Yeah.
She loves Bill Engvall. And, you know, wasn't impressed by Blank Check. But then by the end, we both kind of got what she meant. It's, I mean...
I don't know. If she liked stuff with Bill Engvall... I feel like she would not have tried to steer me away from In the Army Now. I feel like there was we're not giving her enough credit.
Now, Pauly Shore is a Southern California, like, stoner surfer type.
Yeah, but it also smelled like weed in there a lot. And also, they had some of the weirdest, coolest foreign films and, like, independent films. And that's where I rented Titus. Like, she let me rent Titus.
What did Ethel have to say about that?
I think she withheld her commentary until I brought it back.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah, this movie's message is a little confusing, I guess. I mean, they flat out say at the end, as they give him a birthday cake, you know, be careful what you wish for.
Yeah.
He wishes for boobies.
Oh my god, he does.
I mean, that's what most 10-year-old boys would wish for, I suppose.
Yeah. So his dad says, be careful straight what boys. You wish for, as if to, you know, reinforce the message, you know, you might want money now, but it brings along its own problems and you'd be alone and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, bitch.
And then he looks over at the picture of Shea Stanley, the undercover FBI agent, and he's like, oh, I know what I'm wishing for. Wink, wink.
Her boobies.
Weird.
Super weird.
Let's just jump in and talk about that relationship. It was okay for most of the movie.
You kept saying that, but I disagree.
Yeah, I guess it is a problem when you're, like, watching a movie and, like, the whole time somebody's going, this is okay, right? Yeah. Yeah, this is okay. This is fine. No, that's a red flag.
It is. I know, Jordan, I know that, you know, red flags just like flags when you're looking through rose-colored glasses at blank check.
Oh, that's true. It is a little disturbing. Like, she keeps it fairly professional, but it's also got this, like, hint of
sexuality
to it. I mean, so the first time that the camera, like, lingered on her body, like, with him in the shot, I was kind of like, okay, like, maybe you get one because you're trying to let us know that, you know, he's attracted to her. But then, like, when it happens over and over in the movie, I'm like, oh, god damn it. Like, I can't defend this.
No.
You're showing kids and, like, sexualized women in the same frame.
Yeah.
It's weird.
It's super weird. I mean, like, there are lots of people who were child stars who came out and talked about the abuse in Hollywood. And these kind of movies make me feel like, yeah. Probably so. Definitely so. Always believe the victim first. But, like, what the fuck? I feel like boys are fed a really toxic message.
Oh, yeah.
Which is, and I was dead right. Tell everybody how I was dead right about my prediction about what she would say.
Because you did say earlier that she would say something along the lines of, like, look me up when you turn 18 or whatever. And she literally says, like, or he's like, when can I see you again? And she goes, how about in about 10 years? And she's, like, smiling at him and everything.
Yeah.
It was weird. And then she kisses him on the mouth.
Yeah. Ugh.
God.
Don't kiss children who are not your own children on the lips.
Yeah. I mean, the movie is pretty clear about the fact that, like, she isn't attracted to him, I think. Like, I think it's, like, she's supposed to be portrayed as, like, being charmed by the fun that she's having with a child. But, like, I don't see it as framing it as, like, this is sexual attraction. But it's still inappropriate. Like, as
it is. She kisses him on the mouth. And also, he's like, that first date, it was just for our job. And she's like, well, it only started out that way.
Yeah, but I think that it's supposed to be meant as, like, she's being nice to him, as opposed to, like, that she actually thinks that kind of stuff. Like, I'm sure she had fun on the date, but she doesn't seem to be portrayed as a predator.
I mean, I think that's what makes it so insidious.
Well, I mean, that's the thing, is that I don't think this is something that she, like, I think that it frames it as if, like, oh, you know, she knows that he would want her to kiss him on the mouth, and so she's going to do it.
Wait. Let's flip this. This is how you know if it's okay. If this was a fucking 35-year-old man.
Oh, God, yeah.
And a 9-year-old girl.
Never mind, this is horrible. Yeah. I can't even think about that. That's disgusting. This movie is sickening.
Yeah. That's the test, y'all.
Wow.
Like, don't think that our boys are any less vulnerable, because they're super vulnerable too. And this is the kind of shit that reinforces damaging stereotypes and puts boys in really, like, scary, awkward positions.
Yeah.
So, fuck that. And fuck that messaging.
Yeah, this movie is completely off the rails in that department.
Yes. Always. Just, like, if you're unsure and you're watching a show, like, a movie like this, and you're like, man, maybe it's not that bad. I don't think it's that bad. Just think about if the genders were flipped and it was a 30-year-old man who kissed an 8-year-old girl in the mouth.
Yeah. Gross.
Gross sauce, y'all.
So, let's talk about something less icky.
Yes, I'm into that.
Yeah, we had a whole conversation about that last week, and we can kind of just point out that it's here and it's disgusting.
Yeah.
And move on.
Let's talk about, can we talk about Tone Loc?
Tone Loc?
Tone Loc?
Yeah.
Tone Loc?
Tone Loc.
Oh, God, what's the play on words there?
I don't know.
Well, how do you know it's Tone Loc then?
Because of the, you mentioned, like, he stylizes his name with the O.
Oh,
he
has that's right.
The horizontal line above the O.
It's an umlaut O sound. Tone Loc.
Tone Loc.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so he's a rapper. He made Wild Thing and Funky Cold Medina. Was nominated for a Grammy. Didn't win.
Well, that's better than, like, making music that never gets nominated for a Grammy.
True. Yeah, true.
Silver lining. Show,
like, this is who this guy is. You know, he was nominated for a Grammy in the 90s, and that's pretty much the height of it.
Yeah.
I know he was in Ace Ventura, Pet Detective.
Yeah.
As the frustrated cop who has to deal with Jim Carrey talking through his ass at him.
Listen, Ace, I can't deal with this right now.
Yeah.
Is how Tone Loc sort of sounds.
And we were talking about how he kind of plays the, at least, those are the only two movies I've seen him in, but so in my experience, his role that he's been typecast as is exasperated black man.
Yeah. He's just like done with everybody's shit.
Yeah. He was pretty funny in this for the most part.
He was actually really funny.
Like, the villains are probably the best part of this movie, to be honest.
Oh, most assuredly.
Him and the fat, bird-looking Jewish guy, Biederman.
Thanks, Jordan. Fat, bird-looking Jewish guy.
The guy literally looks like a bird. He looks like a fat baby bird. It's adorable.
Wow, okay. He's just really fuzzy.
No, he's not fuzzy, but he could be.
I mean,
he's got the silhouette.
The possibilities are endless.
Yeah. There's him and Tone Loc, and then Miguel Ferrer, who is, like, selling it.
Yeah. They're all selling it. Tone Loc is really selling it.
Yeah.
Are you telling me that this itty-bitty little boy here... I feel like a lot of the lines were ad-libbed by Tone Loc.
Yeah.
And the director was like, no, you just... just keep those. That's amazing.
I wonder, too, if it was, like, written for a completely different type of person, meaning, like, maybe a white criminal or something like that, and they're just like, oh, wait, no, Tone Loc auditioned. Let's get him in here. And he just, like, he's like, hey, I'm not going to read any of this stuff. And then they just get in there, and he, like, just plays off of Miguel Ferrer, and they're like, this is gold.
This is the one right here, yeah.
Yeah, he and Miguel Ferrer and what's the other guy's name? Martin Lerner, I think, are the best part of this movie.
Oh,
hands
for
down.
Sure.
Just hilarious the whole time.
They
totally play it straight.
Yeah.
And the humor just kind of comes from them being in absurd situations, I guess.
Yeah.
But it does go a little far at the end with the, like, him defeating the little boy, defeating all the criminals with, like, the various toys that he's purchased over the course of the movie. And he's, like, punching people in the face with oversized boxing gloves and running them off a ramp in a ball that they're trapped inside of. Yeah, Rachel is making the suicide hand motions right here.
I'm just like, kill me! Kill me! I don't want to relive this shit. I hate whenever people do movie reviews and all they do is summarize the goddamn movie. I just fucking watched the movie. I don't need you to summarize it for me. I need you to tell me what you fucking thought and why.
Well, I wanted to especially summarize that part for you because it just reiterates... I mean, you were bored the first time around when that happened.
Oh, and yeah.
Just hearing it again in the 10 seconds that I described it, was incredibly boring.
Yeah, Jesus.
We were done with that part by the end.
Oh, yeah.
It was kind of unnecessary, I think. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, after the first 30 minutes, this movie was pretty unnecessary.
I mean, were they trying to, like, capture the Home Alone crowd there at the end?
Yeah.
Where it's like, oh, you know, this little boy sets a bunch of clever traps for some bumbling adults.
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, I just don't know... that it was necessary. Like, maybe the guys show up and threaten him for a little bit, but then some the cops just show up anyway. Like, did we really need to have all this ridiculous driving a go-kart around and putting a virtual reality helmet on an old man?
No.
Very simple answer. No.
No. There's a lot of, like, I have a lot of concise feelings about this.
Yeah.
Which was, like, the love interest stuff should have been nixed. That's gross and creepy.
It is creepy.
All the fucking, like, jumping around with the toys and shit, I guess, is for the kids.
Yeah.
Which maybe you should keep it even if it's for kids, because kids are stupid, and that's stupid.
kids are stupid, and that's stupid.
It's stupid.
Rachel Smith.
I thought it was stupid whenever I was a kid, too, I think.
Yeah.
I think, like, I remember watching it and being like, man, why does he have all this shit if he can't even play with anybody with it? And also, like, why wouldn't he use his money to buy, like, all the puppies from the shelter?
Yeah, I mean, he's not shown to have any friends. Like,
yeah,
he,
it's weird.
He goes to a birthday party at the beginning, but it's for, like, his bully.
Oh, yeah.
Which, why the fuck did he go to his bully's birthday party?
Yeah.
But, like, everybody's being a huge asshole to him.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck is going on there?
I don't really know. I don't know. That's a confusing part of this movie for me.
Like, there's no explanation for why this kid is shunned. But he's shown as having zero friends.
Well, he didn't have much money. That's the point.
I mean, is that it, though? Like, he's...
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, but he's not poor. He just... His dad believes in, like, earning a dollar, and he doesn't have a job.
Well, and also, no, it's not that he's poor, but their parents were talking about, like, keeping the budget tight.
Yeah, they did mention that, but I seem like his dad was just, like, you know, tight on finances and wanted to, like, teach him the value of a dollar type of thing.
Maybe.
That's what I got from it. I mean, look at their house. It was beautiful.
It was. It was pretty nice.
Like, it wasn't a huge castle house like the one that he buys down the street. But, you know, it was a nice house in a nice neighborhood.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
But the woman was jogging there at night.
Oh, yeah. Everything's
by herself.
Life. Yeah. And then whenever a limo pulled up next to her, she was like... But also, she's an FBI agent, remember?
Yeah, it's true.
The limo pulls up next to her, and I'm like, man, if this happened to me, I would just fucking split off onto the side and run.
Well, she does scream when he, like, pops out of the sunroof to greet her. He's like, hey! And she's like, oh my God! Like, there's some proper reactions in this movie.
I suppose.
Appropriate reactions.
I suppose.
And we had good feelings about it at first because, like... You know, Tone Loke is walking through the halls of the bank, just leching on women left and right like a perv.
Yeah.
And it's totally portrayed as being, like, unwelcome and inappropriate.
But also, Tone Loke is so, like, selling it so hard and doing such a good job that I totally believe he's checking out every single person's ass. I'm like, that's a piece of excellent acting there, Tone Loke. Just being like, yeah, goddamn, to every ass that he sees. It's amazing.
This is a Disney movie. Like, this guy is leching on all these women. But, yeah, just a little strange.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you think about the way that this movie treats women in general? There aren't many.
There really aren't many. There's mom and then there's love interest.
Mom literally says, like, two things. And she's in a lot of scenes where she just kind of, like, sits there and, like, nods at things the husband says.
Holds a birthday cake and smiles at you lovingly. That's what everybody wants their mom to do.
Yeah.
Well, too bad, everybody.
Like, stand there and be silent. Make me a cake.
Be a cake.
But it is funny, remember at the beginning, because this kid's good with computers.
Yeah.
And, they get a computer for his older brother's business. Yeah. And they're like, we don't know how to use this computer. And the dad's like, oh, don't worry. The programs on here will teach you how to do everything that you want to know, except how to make love to a woman. Oh, and the wife walks in and goes, oh, I know what I'm going to get you for Christmas. Like, it's kind of...
Whoa! I know. There were some, like, tense moments there.
Yeah, like, I wonder what's going on with their marriage.
Yeah. But also, I'm thinking about... The actual, like, sentence structure of those lines.
Yeah.
He goes, it'll teach you everything except how to make love to a woman.
Yeah.
And she says, I know what I'm getting you for Christmas, which means the opposite, that he does know how to make love to a woman. He just needs everything else.
Oh, I think she means like, because she says like, I know what program I'm going to get you. I think she meant that she was going to buy him the, buy him a program that does teach him how to make love to a woman because he doesn't know.
Yeah, maybe.
It's a clunky line, so it's hard to.
It's clunky, and it, like if I was shopping it in a workshop, I'd be like, if I was sitting around a writer's table, I'd be like, what's the fucking clarity? Is you need to have some clarity here, and yeah. I would just circle it.
It's also the blank check is very much like the Bible in that you can have two different people looking at this movie and come up with two very separate conclusions
okay.
about what it means and what it says to us.
Oh, gotcha.
Pretty funny. What's the deal with it? So this movie, they pretend that it's set in Indiana, but it's clearly in
Texas. Yeah.
What's going on?
Well, that was another really strange thing for me was, like, both Jordan and I spent a good deal of our lives in Texas. And I remember, like, I spent, like, fucking 10 years in Texas. And I remember being, like, when we were watching this, I'm like, I think that's Six Flags. I think that's, like...
That was Fiesta Texas, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Because
it was the Rattler roller coaster that they were going to get on.
Yeah, and I thought at first it was Six Flags over Texas, like Arlington. And I was like, nah, I think you're right. Because the Rattler versus the Texas Giant.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was really weird. I'm like, why even attempt to set it in Indiana? Like, why not just have it in Texas?
There's even, like, the party planner who has, like, a very cowboyish accent.
Texas accent, yeah.
Yeah.
And also, he's wearing a shirt that says Texadilla on it.
Yeah, there's, like, all these references to Texas, and then they're just, like, for no reason, they're going to set it in Indiana.
I know, it's weird.
Instead of just using all the stuff around, they decided they're going to spend money on Indiana license plates. They're going to replace all the prop cars with Indiana license plates. It seems like a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
Maybe it was a theme of this movie is money laundering. Maybe they were laundering money through the budget of this movie by saying like, oh, you know, it's going to be $100,000 to convert everything to Indiana. And then that money goes to, you know, buying a few license plates and then somebody's wallet.
Yeah. And like, there's probably some mob people involved with this. And they're like,
maybe it was Tone Loc and Miguel Ferrer working together on this one.
They're just like, let's launder some fucking money. No, I don't think so. I don't think they were in on it.
Or Turk Pipkin, the magician from the fucking credits at the end.
How can you trust a man with a name like Turk Pipkin?
Yeah, Turk Pipkin made out like a bandit in this movie.
He made some money disappear.
Credited in blank check.
He's like, everyone, watch as I saw your anxiety with the federal government in half.
God. Oh, man. Pretty funny.
Thanks. I'll take pretty funny.
Yeah. What you got on that list there?
Oh, yeah.
I thought you got a few things to say.
No, I don't know. You get to write. Oh, no, this was what I was going to put for the blurb on the back.
Oh, well, you know, you can revise the blurb.
Okay, the blurb is about to be revised. The blurb would be, you have to ride all the baby rides when you're poor and watch everyone else have fun.
Because it's true. They go to fucking Fiesta Texas. And what's the deal with the way that their coins work, their tickets work, by the way?
Like, oh, man, you were really upset about this. I am upset really about this. Don't like, care.
They go to a theme park and you have to pay $1 per coin. And, like, you pay for the rides. I've seen this, you know, setup before. But it's like $7 to ride the Rattler one time. Are they kidding me?
That's what the bullshit. Fuck?
Get out of here with that nonsense. It should be $3 max.
How much is a day pass for Six Flags?
I mean, it's like $60, something like that. And you can ride all the rides that you want and see all the shows and everything, and it's all included.
Yeah, like, you would only be able to ride, like, 10 rides.
And you're talking about, like, a little kid's birthday party. Like, this poor fucking Preston Waters, he brought $6 to this place.
Oh, it's so sad. It is a little humiliating. So let's talk about, like, masculinity and capitalism.
Yeah, you got it.
And how it relates to this.
Sure.
You mentioned that... Well, you were like, it is a little embarrassing. This is embarrassing. And I'm sitting back here like, why is he even at this? Like,
I know.
Yeah, so...
What are you doing here?
talk to me a little bit about that, about it being embarrassing.
Well, I mean, like, so the birthday boy has a $50 bill, and that'll be, you know, enough for him to ride the Rattler 7 times and then get some cotton candy. But, like, you know, why is this kid having a birthday party at a place where everyone else has to pay, first of all?
Yeah.
That's rude on its own.
Yeah.
Why is Preston at this kid's birthday party? Because the kid is mean to him, and everyone else excludes him and laughs at him constantly.
Yeah.
What's going on? All of this is very confusing. But, so ignoring all of that, Preston goes to this thing, and he only has $6 because his dad doesn't give him a great allowance or something like that. And so, you know, everybody's going to ride the $7 ride. He doesn't even have enough to ride that one time.
Yeah.
So he's riding all the kiddie rides, and everybody else is having a good time. And, you know, it is humiliating. It looked humiliating.
Well, sure, it's humiliating. But at the same time, why was he doing all those humiliating things?
I mean, it's his own fault. Like, why did you come here?
Yeah.
Why are you... I mean, it didn't really portray him as, like, pursuing a friendship with these people. In fact, I think he didn't even want to go. I think his mom was like, hey, don't forget about Butch's birthday party. And he's like, oh, I don't... Who wants to celebrate Butch's birth?
Yeah, or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, what the fuck? And so... But you just still didn't answer, like, why... What's the connection between money and humiliation here?
Oh, I was deflecting.
Oh. I see.
No,
I see. That sounds about right.
But I mean, like, money is kind of... In masculinity, I feel like money is kind of a way that society uses to, like, measure a man's worth in terms of, like, how he can provide for anyone, even sure. including himself.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's viewed as weakness if you're poor, I think.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, we see that a lot. There's, like, you know... Homeless women, I feel like, would probably... I don't know if this is the case... But I feel like in general, they probably get more help than, or people are more willing to help homeless women than homeless men. I know that I feel that way.
Yeah, but they're also more willing to hurt homeless women than homeless men.
That's true, yeah. But I think that's
a price that women are paying.
I'm just, yeah, there's always a price that women are paying. That's, yeah. That's the world.
You bitches ate the apple. Fuck you.
Oh,
Lord, man. That woman you gave me this fruit, and that's why I know that my dick is out.
If you don't laugh, you'll cry. So we're doing a lot of laughing.
Yeah, I guess so.
Oh, my God. But it's horrible. Yeah, I mean, women get a raw deal no matter what. But I'm just saying in this particular case of, like, dealing with homelessness,
yeah.
I think that people would rather trust helping a homeless woman than a homeless man in a lot of cases. I feel like that's kind of a cultural norm.
Yeah.
For the U.S. at least.
Yeah. I mean, it is a country founded on the Bible, and the Bible is like, the way that the Bible's like, fucking take care of widows and children, dicks.
Yeah.
You know, so children and women get on the boats first in the Titanic and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah. And yeah, so men are, and this is a thing that a lot of men's rights groups focus on that is one of the things that their tainted group actually gets right, I think, is that men are generally viewed as disposable or more disposable.
But women are viewed as disposable too.
Oh, yeah. It's just in different ways, just in different parts of society.
Yeah.
I think that. Because these men's rights groups use that as a way to ignore the fact that women also get treated as disposable.
Yeah.
To promote their view.
What do they think happens to women after 40?
Yeah, exactly.
They don't think about it. That's why.
Yeah. But that's not to say... And that's they should admit that that's a problem.
Yeah, exactly.
But everybody else should also admit that, you know, there are views of... Like you said, women and children first type of thing.
Yeah.
Men are more likely to be expected to join the military or be, sent to combat roles and stuff like that. Even though women want to be a part of that.
Yeah.
Which they should be allowed to.
Sure.
But, you know, just in general, I feel like if there's a shooting and there were, like, a bunch of men that were shot, it's generally like, oh, wow, like, they shot a woman. Like, one woman and there's, like, 7 men that got shot. They'll focus on the fact that there was a woman present.
Yeah,
in,
but...
like, news stories.
But, yeah, but, like, also, who's doing the shooting most of the time.
Oh yeah, like I'm acknowledging fully that there are issues there.
Yeah,
I'm just trying to describe the fact that this group that has views that are not okay does have one thing right in that there needs to be awareness brought to that issue.
Yeah.
But it is definitely a lower priority than some of the other things that we're working on.
Yeah, as a
society.
Yeah. Well, I just don't think anybody should be disposable.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And I feel like... Excuse me. That tart is haunting me. I just feel like movies like this that tie up masculinity and suffering with money are very, very dangerous.
Oh, yeah. Like, it shouldn't be that way.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, like, whenever... It's a trick of capitalism and, like, to maintaining capitalist structures so that the very wealthy remain very wealthy.
Yeah.
To be like, men, you should feel ashamed if you aren't contributing to the economy enough.
Yeah.
Feel ashamed. And, like, you're totally disposable. You're nothing if you can't provide.
Right, exactly.
Like, it's a trick, not necessarily about gender, but about class. And I think that everything comes back to class.
Yeah, because it ties a person's worth 100% to the money that they have.
Yeah.
Or the resources that they have, which is a completely flawed way to value a human being. Like, people have way more that's about them that does not involve the possessions they have.
Yeah, exactly.
That make them worthwhile and valuable.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And some people not so worthwhile. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding.
But yeah, so Blank Check, I mean, it kind of starts out with that. And it doesn't, I don't feel like this movie takes a real stand on like whether or not that's like okay or not.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's just kind of using it as a framing device for like, oh, you know, this is why this kid feels this way.
Yeah.
Why this kid would... It does a decent job of setting up our main character's motivation.
It does.
Which is surprising.
Yeah, I'll give it that.
Yeah. I mean, how do you feel about the thematic elements of this movie? And how do you feel about our main character in general? And just, like, how he is? He's kind of in a house of, like, his brothers pick on him.
You want me to answer the question? Yeah.
I'm just setting the stage.
Thank you. Well, it's been set. I can answer now. I feel like this main character is... like, I'm looking at his headshot right now on the TV screen, and that's exactly how I feel. It's just like, he's some little fucking white kid. He's white, he's got blue eyes, blonde hair, and he's got that stupid, like, 90s haircut that we all had where somebody put a fucking bowl on our head and trimmed around it.
I mean, like, boy, you'd have a hard time finding this kid in a snowstorm. That's for sure.
Like, he's fucking... It's fine, but he's kind of whiny. And, like, he is in this house with two older brothers who kind of pick on him, but...
Yeah.
I don't care.
I feel like he has some grievances that are, like, justified.
Sure.
But he is whiny.
He's whiny.
And a little entitled.
And a lot entitled.
Yeah.
He's like, I want my own house. I'm like, bitch, you're 8. Sit down. Yeah,
good luck. And I mean, that's kind of one of the themes, too, is that he's wrong. Like, you don't know what comes along with owning all these things and stuff like that.
And, like, how you have $1 million and you spent $1 million in 6 days. Oh, my God.
I love how we get to project ourselves onto the villain, Miguel Ferrer, when he has this kid's throat in his hands and he's like, how did you spend $1 million in 6 days?
I know. I mean, I would be tempted to strangle this child too.
Yeah.
Be like, you fucking bought bouncy balls and shit, you little idiot. I need that $1 million to send back to my family in Soviet Russia.
You know, I also think it's strange because, like, when they show up to, like, get the money from him, like, they know it's this kid that took the money, and they walk into this castle house with all these toys in it, and they can't put two and two together and figure out that this kid spent the money. They're still going to ask him for it?
I mean, yeah, I guess that is an excellent point. Probably they were just in denial.
You know what? This movie does characterize its people enough that I would say that that might have been intentional.
Yeah, maybe.
And that they talked about it in a writer's room and were like, yeah, that's okay. They wouldn't question because they would be thinking too much about getting their money.
Yeah, they wouldn't be like looking around being like, shit, that little motherfucker spent all this money.
Yeah,
maybe they would though. I mean, it would be really funny to have a gritty reboot of this movie.
Oh, God. Why would we need a gritty reboot of Blank Check?
A gritty reboot?
Oh, man.
And this fucking kid gets slapped around a little bit.
It's got the girl from Stranger Things in it. And
she plays the little boy's part.
Yeah.
No, that's awesome. Gritty reboot of Blank Check. Got
Javier Bardem as Quigley.
And he just, like, picks the kid up and he's like, let me tell you something. I'm going to tell you that you will not make it to the end of this universe. Your bones will be calcium in the sky. And you're like, ah!
Actually, I am imagining, like, even some of the lines in this movie that Miguel Ferrer says, if Javier Bardem said them, they'd be just so terrifying.
Yeah, they'd be super terrifying.
Like, when there's a knock at the door and he goes and answers it, and it's the three criminals, and, yeah, and Javier Bardem says, we're here to blow out your candles.
Yeah.
what the fuck?
Yes.
Oh my God.
Wait, who would be juicy? We have to think of who would be a good juice.
Good juice? Oh man. Hannibal Buress is
what I'm... Oh man. Hannibal Buress is too silly though. Maybe not though.
No, he's too silly. He's far too silly. I don't know, honestly. Lawrence Fishburne, maybe?
No, he has to be, like...
Too old?
Yeah, it has to be, like, a younger guy who's terrifying.
Oh, man.
Man. Everybody that I'm thinking of, I'm like, no, he's just handsome. It's not terrifying.
The guy that played MLK in Selma could be Tone Loc's character.
Who is that guy?
I don't know. I can't pronounce his name anyway. I'm not even going to try. It would be insulting. But, he has this very beautiful African name.
Oh, you know who it would be? Who would be perfect? Would be the criminal in the second season of Fargo.
Oh yeah, with the gap teeth.
Yeah,
that dude is amazing, and he would be perfect. He deserves so much better than the gritty reboot of Blank Check. Oh man,
he comes up and he's like, are you telling me you let this itty bitty baby boy?
he would be so good.
It would be amazing.
They should remake this shot for shot, same script,
yes,
different actors.
Yes. And,
yeah. We got to figure out what that guy's name is. I wish I knew because he's amazing.
Yeah, he's incredible. He's perfect.
So who would be Biederman? The fat Jewish banker. Way to go, Disney, you fucking racists.
Yeah.
You got your fat Jewish banker into yet another kids movie. You
Disney, dicks. Like, the anti-Semitism echoes from the past in Disney movies.
Yeah.
I don't trust him. Who would he be? Who would be great for that?
Man, I'm trying to think. I'm having a hard time, like, thinking of somebody that would work well.
Liev Schreiber
is too cool to play Biederman. He's way too cool.
Remember, it's a gritty reboot. He's got to be like a Jewish gangster.
Maybe it could be Louis Black. Because he can be like funny and like a little bumbling. But he can also play a serious role. He was a guest star in SVU, you know?
Oh, he was pretty good in that.
He could do it.
I don't... But it has to be somebody... Not only somebody who could do it, but somebody who... It would be guaranteed that it would be, you know, good.
You know, good. Oh man,
because I love you, Louis, but I don't know how much of a serious actor role he could do.
Yeah, well, I mean, so who would play Shay Stanley, the undercover FBI agent
in our gritty reboot?
Probably just another woman who's in one movie and is never seen again.
No,
just
stop, like, our movie's gonna be better. It's a gritty
reboot.
Oh, we're
making this movie.
Well, it's a gritty reboot, and we're just choosing the casting.
Oh, see, I assumed that Hollywood was making this movie, and it was going to be terrible.
What? We were talking about how awesome it would be, the guy from Fargo. What are you talking about?
Well, I mean, there would be interesting things to see, but, like, if Javier Bardem was actually in a gritty reboot of Blank Check, yeah, we would see it, but it would be terrible.
It would be amazing.
No, it would be awful.
I disagree.
It would be such a thing to see. It would be amazing. Like, we would have to see it. But it wouldn't be what you would call a good movie.
Somebody's going to steal this idea from us, and we're going to lose our millions of dollars that we're owed. Trademarked. Trademarked. No one steal our idea for a gritty reboot of Blank Check.
Oh, I meant to tell you because I mentioned that Miguel Ferrer was related to somebody famous, and I forgot who it was.
Who was it?
George Clooney is his cousin.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
He's got the shallow end of the gene pool there, huh?
The apple fell far from the Clooney tree, I suppose.
Yeah. But he's pretty good.
Yeah. You know, Rosemary Clooney was his aunt. And I like Miguel Ferrer, but he died last year, so there's...
Well, that's sad.
There's no more of him. He died of cancer, so...
Oh.
Yeah, it's sad. I liked him.
Mm-hmm.
He's a good actor.
Sure.
Recognizable and memorable.
Yep, that would be a quite a eulogy for him there. He was recognizable and...
I'm writing an obit, like, a year and a half later.
Oh, God. I mean, blank check. I do like when that little kid comes up and he's like, I think he was drinking vodka. And I'm like, that's oddly specific, son.
Oh, yeah, Butch, the kid who's the bully,
yeah,
is there when Preston's car gets, or bike gets run over by the villain's car, which is like kind of the setup for the whole movie.
Yeah.
But he says like, yeah, I'm a witness. I saw you, like, this guy has probably been drinking vodka all day. This has some sad implications.
It does. It has some sad implications. Like, why does he know about vodka?
Yeah.
And drinking it all day.
And that people will do stupid things when they're drinking vodka all day. Probably because his parents do.
Yeah, he's got red hair, red curls.
What's that supposed to mean?
Ah, the Irish. The finest race of people to have ever peeled a potato.
Gong. That's racist.
That, well, I should clarify, that's from the movie The Proposition.
Yeah.
I'm just being silly.
I know. Yeah, it is it's a quote from a movie. Not true, but it is funny to point that out, I suppose.
I'm sure there's a good chunk of Irish in me, too.
Oh, there's a little in all of us, I believe.
At this point. Yeah. I mean, the Irish, they love to have children. And they love to drink.
But yeah, so that
just
kid,
kidding everybody,
that little kid knows about, you know, people drinking and making stupid mistakes, and that sounds it's kind of dark, kind of explains why he's such a jerk.
Yeah,
why he lashes out at other kids.
Yeah it does. His parents are probably alcoholics.
They threatened to throw him off a building almost near the end there.
Those weren't his parents.
Oh, no, but the villains, like, yeah, they kidnap this kid and, like, hold him over a building, like, the edge of a, yeah, like, 15-story building.
That kid's got PTSD now.
I mean, they didn't skimp on the scary in this movie.
They didn't. And I feel like that's something that kids are sort of lacking now. And it may be, it's probably cyclical, like, every person who starts aging starts thinking that exact thing. But really, I think...
Aren't as harsh for kids as they were when I was young.
Yeah, and maybe that's a good thing.
Yeah, but maybe it is.
But at the same time, I'm like... I remember reading scary stories to tell in the dark and feeling so scared. And it being so amazing.
Yeah. Like, when we were kids, Miguel Ferrer was hunting for you. And he was, if he found you, he was going to whack you in the face with a folding chair.
Yep, or hold you off of a building.
Or hold you off a building. Or strangle you with his bare hands. Yeah. Because that's the kind of people that are out there.
The stakes are high, folks.
Oh, man.
You Gen Zs, you are so pampered by media.
Yeah. Weren't even born during 9/11. Jesus, get out of here.
People weren't slapping each other around enough. I'm kidding. Again.
Nowadays, people say never forget, and they think about Ariana Grande. Get the fuck out of here.
Ariana Grande? Isn't she the one that likes to be carried around like a baby?
I think that was a well-evidenced rumor.
Didn't she also lick a donut and scream at somebody?
I don't know anything about that. Lick a donut and scream at somebody.
I'm pretty sure she did that.
I mean, she sounds like a diva. I don't really know.
I
was talking about the bombing that was at her fucking show, like, 2 or 3 years ago. I think so, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's fucked up.
There was, like, a terrorist bombing at an Ariana Grande show.
Oh, it was in London, wasn't it?
Yeah, something like that.
That's fucked up.
It's sad. We can't even remember most of this stuff.
Maybe, like...
There's so many.
Gen Z kids are actually getting a lot of trauma through their media too.
Yeah.
But it's more like they have to be afraid when they go to a concert for their actual lives.
Yeah, it seems more abstract and, like, undefinable.
That's
like
more terrifying.
Yeah, that is more terrifying.
No wonder our kids are fucking, are the students that I see are so, like, riddled with anxiety.
Yeah.
I mean, they may go to an Ariana Grande concert and get blown up, and whenever we were their age, we were just like,
don't steal $1 million from Miguel Ferrer. You'll be fine.
Or we were like, oh, let's just, you know, how much weed do you think we could get away with while we drive?
Well, that's a little older than I was thinking, but...
Yeah.
But, I mean, I feel like our monsters were more definable. And, sure. Like, you could point one out and see it.
Yeah.
Like nowadays it's difficult because it's like, you know, the people that are the most monstrous look just like me and you.
Yeah.
Because they're just other people.
Yeah.
Like, they aren't monsters or, you know, I mean, I guess they are in the parlance of our times, dude. But, yeah, I mean, you can't, like, look at one. There's not a guy outside, like, dressed up with a sign that says, I'm the Taliban. And, you can go, oh, I'll just, you know, avoid that and be okay.
Right.
Yeah. It is a scarier time in some ways, I think.
It is. It is. It's... And so, like, we got to give those guys a break. No wonder it's so fucking scary. The time of blank check helps me remember sometimes. Like, our villains were pretty well defined.
And yeah.
They were people who stole. They were people who, you know, damaged property. There were people who lied.
Yeah.
That's who our villains were. And I think that the villains for this generation are, like, the people who said they were going to take care of you.
Yeah.
And so that's way scarier in a lot of ways.
Or even just anonymous faces. You know, just somebody. Or, like, a cyber bully. Or, like, you know, you have no idea who these people are or what they're doing or why.
Yeah, or, like, the Las Vegas shooter.
You have, like, no control over any of it.
Yeah, how terrifying.
Yeah.
Let's be gentle with our generations that are upcoming, y'all.
Yeah, it's scary.
It's a scary place out there. We need to give them a break.
That's an interesting realization we came to.
It is, through blank check.
But you know what? I'm comforted by the fact that James Rebhorn is in this movie.
Oh, yeah, as the dad.
The dad. He's a character actor that's in a few things. He was in Air Force One as, like, a colonel or something that's on the plane with Harrison Ford. He's in The Game as, like, that actor for... I love The Game.
You do love The Game.
That movie is awesome.
It's tight.
That's, like, the best thriller ever. I love The Game.
It's fine.
But
I'm
he's
not
in that...
going to fight you on this again. I'm pretty sure we fought about this, two days after our wedding.
I don't know why you're resurrecting this fight, because you clearly are in the wrong. There's, like, The Game is the best.
The Game is fine. It's not the best.
The Game is the best.
The Manchurian Candidate is the best thriller.
While The Manchurian Candidate is a good movie.
It's a fucking great movie.
The Game is the best movie of all time.
Of all time?
Yeah.
You really think The Game is the best movie of all time?
No, I don't think it's the best of all time. I think it's one of the best thrillers of all time, though. I think it's an amazing thriller.
I think it's a pretty good thriller.
I said, it's the best thriller ever made.
It doesn't have a lot of replay value because you know what's coming.
That doesn't matter. It's art on its own. Like, just being able to repeat it doesn't mean that it has value or not. Like,
okay.
the experience was singular. And that's one of the things I think is great about it, is that you can't get it back, but you know how amazing it was.
Okay.
It's like heroin. The first time is the best it's ever going to be.
We don't do heroin.
And from then on, you're just chasing that dragon.
In fact, no one should do heroin.
Good
hear
advice.
Me, kids? That's the advice for me today. Don't watch Blank Check. It's high. As Ethel said, it wasn't very good.
Well, Blank Check just gave the same advice that you gave about not doing heroin.
Oh,
with
yeah.
His older brother who wears that shirt that says, shoot hoops, not drugs.
And I'm just like, yeah, you shouldn't do any drugs that you have to shoot into your veins.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, I feel like that's a low bar rule there.
Oh, man.
You know?
And yet, one that's so hard for so many people to keep.
Yeah.
It's a hell of a drug.
Yeah. I mean, we won't even go into the opioid crisis. We don't have time for that.
Blank check and the opioid crisis. A thesis.
Oh, fuck that. I mean, let's see what I have written down. If there's anything else that we need to do.
Yeah, anything else you got to talk... I mean, this movie, it is what it is, you know? There's not a whole lot to talk about. There is a fairly diverse group of men.
Yeah.
Not a very diverse group of women.
Oh, like, everybody being concerned for Preston's safety was like...
Oh, yeah.
Where everybody's like, who is this Macintosh? And I'm not 100% sure that they are concerned... They're just, like, trying to get Macintosh's money. I think, really, what they're concerned about is, like, is this dude a child trafficker? Like, why is he hanging out with this little kid?
Why is this 8-year-old employed by this mystery man who no one has met?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
That's a little scary on its own. And even, like, Henry the limo driver seems concerned in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
But I think we're supposed to know that, or I think we're supposed to infer that Henry kind of knows that Macintosh doesn't exist.
Yeah.
Oh, he like knows that this kid like just stumbled upon some money somehow and he doesn't care to ask any questions.
Yeah.
Which is kind of weird on its own too.
Yeah. Who hangs out with an 8-year-old?
Yeah. Like, who is this guy Henry who like is portrayed as not really caring about the money as much and more about like being a friend to this kid? Why is he being a friend to this kid?
Well, because
why isn't he doing something else with his time?
I think the joke that we made was like, whenever he went off from that party, he came back and looked kind of sweaty. And I'm like, can you fucking just go buy a bunch of pain pills? And then he came back, he's like, hey, yeah, I just, I fucking went somewhere for just a minute. And look at all this fun shit that's happening. My bad.
The only reason that you thought that was because this actor looks so much like Rush Limbaugh.
that he
reminds us of a pill problem. And so he's like, that guy's got a pill problem for sure.
That dude does have a pill problem for sure.
I agree.
Yeah. we're going to go at doctors, Rachel and Jordan.
Yeah.
Certified doctors. No, I'm just kidding. We're not doctors. Don't listen to anything we say. We're definitely unqualified for that.
Oh, pill problem. Man. Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, I guess, like, the thing that I gleaned most out of this is, you know, masculinity and capitalism are inextricable.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting because it takes the half of the population that is, like, at least in dominating the second half.
Yeah.
And then it forces them into a program that self-sustains something that's harmful to like 90% of even men.
Yeah.
Which is interesting.
It is interesting.
So yeah, it is a, it's a system that's harmful to both sexes, but, I mean, you know, like we said, women always get the shorter end of the stick. That's for sure.
You know, we're like, just like, oh fuck. I mean, not again.
You know, class sucks for both genders, but,
but damn.
Yeah. Damn.
Damn if you're the one carrying around other people in your body.
Double whammy for women, that's for sure.
You know, maybe it's the only thing, that men, like rich men especially, felt bad about. And they were just like, let women on the boats first. I guess I had the most fun in life.
Maybe that is it. I mean, I know that it comes from a position of like, women propagate the species because they're the ones that are capable of getting pregnant and birthing children. Which is an amazing power.
It's like a superpower.
That we've turned into an amazing chain.
Yeah. The superpower that's actually your burden now.
Yeah. But I think it came more from that. But I do think there's probably, like, in some ways, certain people who don't feel that way would justify it to themselves by saying, like, yeah, I got, you know, a better... People that are intellectually honest would be like, yeah, I probably had, like, a better life in general. I was more free to do what I want. So at least the least we can do is give you more time.
Yeah. Jump on the boat, girl.
Yeah. So what do you think about this movie? Disaster or delight?
I mean...
Or D's nuts?
Wow. Never do that again. I'm putting a moratorium.
No good.
I'm not allowed to talk about Lord of the Rings. You're never allowed to make a D's Nuts joke again.
Oh,
I haven't
man.
Even mentioned Lord of the Rings today, except for right now, in a meta context.
It's true. Yeah, disaster or delight? Or D's Nuts?
No. No. I mean, I'll never watch this shit again.
Yeah.
It wasn't that good.
It wasn't that good.
Yeah.
I mean,
disaster.
This is another tough one for me. I'm hesitant to call it a complete disaster. It's like, I felt like...
It wasn't the Hindenburg or anything, but...
I mean, other than, like, the last 15 minutes, like, I felt entertained the whole way through, and... Well, you know what? No, I didn't. I was bored in several parts. We were talking a lot in this movie.
Yeah, I'm getting up and moving around and kind of farting around.
I mean, it is what it is, and it, you know, it delivered the story to us.
Right.
It just wasn't all that interesting, honestly. I mean, looking at it with the nostalgia of having seen it before, it was fun to be like, oh, you know, remember how I felt the first time I saw that? It was cool to see virtual reality, like, because I love games and stuff.
Yeah.
But, as an adult, it was kind of just boring to watch. I'm just like, okay, I'm not learning anything from this. I was the same person before I watched Blank Check that I am after I watched Blank Check.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So really, I just wasted an hour and a half.
I got to eat a pork chop. And that was good. And some French fries.
Oh, okay. Yeah, now this is just going off. Yeah, disaster. Disaster from me also.
I was really pleased with my pork chop during this movie.
So, me and...
Could you imagine if I was a movie critic? And that's what I said was just like, I was very interested in my pork chop. Very interested in the glass of tea I had.
Two stars.
Two stars. Yeah. Out of how many?
Four.
Two out of four? Two out of five? Who just gives four stars?
I don't know.
Yeah, you gotta...
Generals, I guess?
Oh, I guess so.
Anyway, thanks for listening, you guys. tell your friends. We want more people to listen to us. That'll be fun.
Yeah, it'll be totally fun. And if you guys write stuff to us... We'll read it back to you.
Yeah. Write us a review on Apple Podcasts. Give us 5 stars and we'll read it out loud on the air. And thank you personally for writing it. And we'll also go to bed just smiling that night.
Yep.
Knowing that someone cares.
Yep. Yeah. Sure. I don't know. Blank Check. Good job, everyone. Capitalism and masculinity. Let's think about shit harder next time.
A system that we won't be able to change anytime soon.
Nope.
Thanks a lot, guys. Have a great week.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah. Have a great week.
Bye, guys.